Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is a man who has all of his scalp, and he's not a jerk to servers. It's Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie? How's it going?
Hi. How are you?
I'm great because Below Deck Sailing Yacht last night was one of the craziest episodes I've ever seen of that franchise. And I'm so excited to talk about it with you today on this old podcast. How are you doing?
Good. Look at my microphone. Look at my microphone cover. It's like my microphone has clothes that don't fit. Okay. I'm trying to work with ways to make a pop filter without having a big circular thing in my face. So just bear with me. Okay. Bear with me, people.
Yeah. Well, I say lean into the circle. It's cute. I don't know.
No.
Well, fine. Lots of exciting things to talk about today. First of all, we are just 2 days away from our big show in Philadelphia. Tickets are still on sale for that. That's going to be on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, St. Crappin's Day, whatever you want to call it, in Philadelphia at the Fillmore. We're going to be recapping Real Housewives of New Jersey, the episode that airs tonight. And then on Friday, we have a huge show at the Lincoln Theater in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be recapping Real Housewives of Orange County. As I say this, I remember that Heather Dubrow was in my dream last night, and makes me scared. And then on Saturday, we're going to Pittsburgh, and we are recapping a vintage episode of Jersey, a classic. It's the Marge's first episode. It's season 8, episode 1. It's Marge's first appearance. It's also where they throw a cake across a restaurant. It's a crazy episode. So come join us for that. Tickets are at watchwhatcrappens.com. And you, of course, can go to crappensmerch.com and get all that sexy, sexy merch that we have. Like, we have shirts that you can come wear to the show. We got pins. This is Crappens On Demand today, so you can actually watch us, by the way. So you can see me holding up this cool Golden Crappies 2021 mug. I should put my coffee in it. It's really cool. So go to crappensmerch.com and get that stuff. And if you get that merch, tag us on Instagram. We'll put you on the gram, okay? So that's all the big exciting stuff. Go to patreon.com/watchcrappens to watch this recap. Okay, like come along and watch it. All right, so I think that's everything before we jump in as classic Marge into Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Okay, Ronnie, you ready to do this?
I sure am ready to go.
Yeah, well, let's do it. This episode, wow. I mean, I was like, I there were times I was like, I have to stop this right now and send out a tweet. And then the tweet I would send out was like, I'm breathless. You know, I couldn't believe it. It was just had every corner of this episode was just crazy.
Becoming one of those gays. I have lost all feeling in my hands and my feet. This episode left me breathless.
Yeah, that is exactly. I literally sent out a tweet from our account last night saying, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, I have no words. Very dramatic.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever post that from a podcast.
I know.
Literally, the one thing we have to have is words.
I know. Someone actually responded and said, well, you better find some for tomorrow. So the words are here, guys. The words have arrived.
I had words. Trash, garbage, your pieces of shit, get the fuck off my boat. Hope I never see you again. Hope you get dragged. You know, this is one of the times that people are on Facebook like, here's their business, their personal injury lawyers, which A, makes so much sense. And B, I don't know what, I just want to alphabetize things today, but it makes sense that they're personal injury lawyers. But also, it was one of those times that I was like, yeah, ruin those fucking people. Because usually, I'm like, well, you know, it's just TV. Don't go ruin their real life. Fuck you guys, okay? You're both garbage. All three of you are garbage, okay? Janelle and Rhett, the winners of this episode.
American heroes. I felt like I was watching this show, and we've seen Erica and Cindy on reality TV many times, but, and I've always been like, well, you know, they're like, they're just silly. But this is the first time I felt like watching the three of them, and they represented everything that was wrong, that is wrong with our society and our culture and everything. Anything that's wrong with the world, I feel like it's personified by these three people. I really felt that from the depths of my soul, like everything. And this guy, I read an article yesterday where Erica was being interviewed on Monsters and Critics. And she's like, oh, well, he was just really acting. He was a theater major in college. And even though it's not scripted, he just really wants to lean into it to make it entertaining. I'm like, no, this is bullshit. This guy is a piece of shit, turd, broken, melted dildo face. Asshole, I don't know. I need another word, but I can't think of one. Scumbag.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. And then in an interview, I think I mentioned this last week, but he's like, oh, Daisy's mad? Well, I can't help it that my wife is prettier than her. It's like, okay. Okay, buddy. Yeah. So let's start where we left off last week. Erica is telling Daisy, they're all at the omelet table, as I'm calling the dinner table from now on, the omelet table, where Chuck is, you know, ranting and raving about everything, basically. And so Daisy comes out and Erica's like, my mom and Chuck have been disappointed. And don't say you weren't, because I'm going to be really mad if you guys say that you weren't disappointed. And Chuck's like, it's not disappointed. It's more like disgusted.
I don't want it. It's not good. And then Erica's like, but you eat McDonald's. And he goes, McDonald's is better than this. Now, I will say, in Chuck's defense, there are times when I've eaten food out in the world. I say, you know what? McDonald's is better than this. But I do not believe this is one of those times. I think he is just a pig. He is a pig with no taste buds who is a spoiled brat and has never had anyone say no to him. And he's just never gotten punched in the face. And guess what? I really hope that's coming to him.
I think he has been punched in the face. Look at it. He's like this. He looked like his jaw is literally to the side, like he's been punched 10,000 times and still doesn't learn, you know? No. He's one of those like egg-shaped things that you had when you were a kid that you would punch and it would come right back up. You know, those inflatable egg things.
Yeah.
But also, okay, on the other hand, you know, if this was anybody else with any kind of couth, get some couth, like they say on Jersey. If he had any couth at all, you'd kind of be on his side. The omelet was brown.
It was.
It did come out with tomatoes, which he didn't ask for. You know, like, there is stuff, like, yes, you have complaints, but you're just such a monster of a fucking human being, you know?
Yeah, because it was like, very solvable, like, hey, this omelet's overcooked and it also has tomatoes, which I can't eat, or I don't want, I hate tomatoes. Could you please send this back and bring me a new one? And then it's just done. It's done just like that. But he rants and he raves. And then he says how last night was one of the top five worst meals of his life or something like that. When actually the night before he said it was one of the top five best meals. It was just so over the top and rude and disrespectful. That it was just like, ugh.
And I said that Daisy was out there. It's the captain, actually. And he's like, well, I still don't understand what the problem is. Really? And Erica's like, well, my mom didn't like the food last night. Just be honest, mom. Just be honest. And Chuck's like, you don't put foodie sauce on a steak. What was that? So now I feel like I'm losing money just by sitting here looking at this disgusting food.
And Erica's like, that's a bitchy thing to say, because I would not say it's disgusting. He goes, it's inedible. So then Daisy is downstairs with Marcos, and she goes like, just to warn you, Charles is like, this is fucking disgusting, and he doesn't like his dinner, and he doesn't like his omelet, and he doesn't like his steak, so just to warn you, I hope this doesn't distract you and something happens to you, like, you, I don't know, tear your scalp off or something like that.
He wouldn't know good food if he got his scalp missing. If someone came up and scalped him right now. Sorry, That's a future sorry from me.
Hey, what no good food if someone scalped it off his head and fed it to him. Sorry.
And Marcos
sorry
is in the like, future. But yeah, it's like the worst Outlander ever. It's like the least romantic Outlander ever. It's like, ha, I'm Daisy from your future. just saying sorry, you know, about making hurting yourself comments back there. All right. Oh, so Marcos is like, but yesterday, didn't he say it was good? And she's like, no, well, I guess he didn't think that. You know what I'm like? I'm like shaking. I'm shaking right now. That was Daisy's. That was Daisy's tweet from our account last night. Below deck. I'm shaking.
I have no words, Ronnie. So then she's like, well, I just want to warn you. And so then, by the way, last week we were calling her like Holly or whatever. Her name is Haley. Okay. Her name is Haley, but it's spelled H-A-L-H-E or is it H-A-H-L-E? Either way, it's an extremely unconventional spelling of Haley. And she's telling, I think, Glenn or someone like, well, I actually thought last night the food was good, but I have a different palate. So she's just trying to be really polite to be like, I'm not a monster like this fuckface.
Also, your wife is the one who set that entire menu because no one would let him cook what he was planning on serving. So, and Chuck's like, yeah, but you know what? I would be happy if I could eat some quality food. That's when I'm going to be happy. And the captain's like, well, I'm going to find a solution to this. Dinner is going to be amazing. Don't you worry about that. And Cindy's just sitting there smiling. You're such an embarrassment. You, lady, you are such an embarrassment. You, this is your tree that all this rotten fruit's just shitting all over, okay?
Yeah, I mean, for real. And she's just this oblivious woman who doesn't... You can see she's so... She only really thinks about herself and, like, maybe her daughter, that she's just oblivious to the things around her, the things that she sets into motion, the chaos that she causes other people. She's just not concerned with it, and she doesn't care about it. And it's... terrible. So then downstairs, Daisy's planning something with Gary, which isn't really important, except for the fact that there's just a lot of Daisy planning, which is like, okay, so I'll come back on the food trip, and then I'll swap me out with the other guests, and there'll be a picnic, and I'll go on the boat, and I'll pick up the beach, I'll go to the beach, I'll pick things up, and then I'll come back on the beach, and the guests will go to the beach, but I'll be on the boat, but the guests will be on the beach, but then I'll send Ashley, but then Gabriella will go there too, and they'll be on the beach, and the tent on the beach, and the tent on the beach, and the tent on the beach. It's like... It's like she does such a big download so quickly, and Gary's like, yeah.
She does so much that she literally exhausts herself, because after she's done with all that, she always goes like, she puts her hand on her forehead like, I can't. Every time. It's so funny. So then Erica's walking around with a big water stain on her butt, which makes sense because they're on a boat, but I was still like, LOL. And yeah. Erica's like, okay, I'm just asking you, my friend, were you okay with the food last night? Because really, I wasn't, and Chuck wasn't either. And her friend's like, yeah, but he's not ever happy with anything. She goes, I told you, Chuck likes to be a bitch.
And then Glenn goes downstairs with Marcos, and he's like, so I think a couple of them weren't happy with the food last night, and one of them wasn't happy with the eggs, something about tomatoes or whatever. So look, let's humor them, okay? Humor them, and just like, I want you to go, and you meet with them, and you hear exactly what they want, you know? And then, but Glenn's pissed off at these people, because he's like, who comes on a yacht and says the food isn't as good as McDonald's? I mean, show some class. It's like, coming up, Gary sticking his penis into a wine glass or something. Show some class on this boat.
So Colin, who's just his shitstery self through this whole thing, is getting lunch together, and he's like, that guy's gonna complain because it doesn't taste like a happy meal. Anybody else in here unhappy? Let's talk about it. Anyone want to cry? Come to Cooley Wooly. Anybody ever cry made out? Why don't you make out with someone? It'll make you feel better.
Anyone have dark sister issues? Dark sister issues? I swear there's got to be some around here somewhere.
A dog sister issue?
No, sorry, dark sister, but it sounded like dog sister. But anyone have some issues that are dark pertaining to their sister?
So Gabriella is clearing, she's having to clean Chuck's room, and he's in there. He's on the bed, and he just covers his face, and he's like, where's my sunglasses? Where's my hat? I'm like, where's all the important shit that I can't find because it's so fucking dark in here? Oh, you mean because you made them put up a wall divider? Fucking idiot.
A black curtain in your room. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
So he's just like, just horrific. So, so then we get like a little quick vignette. There's stuff happening on deck of Gary basically like, you gotta rip it. And Tom is just like, oh, why'd you put, tell me to put it inside? Why don't you do that? You set me up to fail. You set me up to fail. I'm just a wee shepherd up from the north of England. You set me up to fail.
And Daisy's doing the same thing she was before. And then what we're gonna do, we're gonna go onto a beach. There's gonna be a table and we're gonna put some food on the table. It's gonna be a picnic. Oh, God, yeah. I'm wrecked from all that. So Hal, he and Janelle are talking, and Janelle's like stressed out. She's like pacing around, and Hal, he is saying, what are you shaking your head about? Are you still mad about earlier? And she's like, oh my God, that guy complains about everything. I like everything that guy complains about. So the beach picnic is upon us.
Yeah, so there. So Tom is starting to set up the beach picnic. Tom and someone else, I forget who, because there was a lot of orange shirts. And so they're setting up the tent. And then meanwhile, Chuck is now back up on the deck. And he's like, where's all the alcohol that everyone's drinking that I don't have, huh? And then Rhett and Janelle, you mentioned Rhett earlier, but so Rhett and Janelle are in the corner and they can't stand him. And Rhett's just mumbling. He goes, I think that's the first person I've met who's worse than I am. He's like, I'm a terrible person and this guy's worse than me.
And Janelle just goes, yeah. Because Janelle has had to deal with Rhett's annoying ass. And now she sees someone even worse and she's going to go for it. You know, Janelle is triggered by her own personal circumstances on top of all of this. So poor Tom can't figure out the tent covering. You know, he's trying to put it on the tent structure. And he's like, how do you do this? This is ridiculous. This tent has set me up to fail. I can't do this. Where's the instructions? He's like losing his mind. I love Tom's little temper.
He does have a lot of them, and I like that he like set up the tent and then realized he'd never put the tent on the tent. You know, like he just set up, like he like unfurled the frame and stuck it in the sand. He's like, oh, I guess I should probably put the tent on. It shouldn't. I'm such an idiot. Set me up to fail.
So then Marcos is talking to Colin, and he's like, I've never heard this in my life, this kind of feedback. I mean, tomorrow, I'm going to need to be drinking. I'm going to tell you that now. And Colin's like, don't take it personally. Listen, I was there. The guy has the taste buds of a billy goat. Fucking Big Macs and cheeseburgers. Which reminds me of my first date with my new girl. I said,
you want to go somewhere? Well, I better get back to my menu planning. You know what I'm saying? You know, getting back to my menu planning.
All right. Back to polish. Back to polish.
Speaking of polish... so we also see Cindy just sitting on the big, beautiful white sofa in the living room area, in the parlor, the salon. And she's just sitting there with a smile on her face. And you can already just see all this bronzer just on this white sofa. Because I feel like we are especially trained in seeing this stuff because we have we've lived through Adrian Maloof doing this to, was it Lisa Vanderpump's towels? Adrian Maloof definitely did this. And then, of course, Lydia. Her couch. Not Lydia, the couch.
I think it was one of her white couches as well, yeah.
You're right. It was her couch. And then on Melbourne, it was Gina who got the bronzer all over. Was it Lydia's towels or Andrea's towels? So we've been down this path before. So like, I feel like as soon as I see bronzer on white, I'm like, this is going to be a storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, you know that Real Housewives are... I feel like in a Real Housewives show, you should have all of your furniture covered in plastic like my grandma used to have. You know, like this is very special couch. It's all covered in plastic. This will never... fabric will never see the light of day, you know? It's like you know what's coming. But below deck, I mean, come on, Cindy. Trish! You're trash.
It's bad. It just... It looks like there was like a water leak on it or something. It's horrifying. And she just is sitting there smiling, doesn't have a thought to look down, doesn't see, doesn't like put two and two together that if she has fresh bronzer on her legs, she shouldn't be sitting on furniture. Like I've never put on bronzer, but I feel like it's one of those things where I would feel like I've got this creamy thing on me and I wouldn't want to be near furniture, you know?
Well, it's certainly not her first time doing it either. No. You know that she's done it so many times and probably been told so many times.
Yes.
Still, there she goes sitting on the white couch. So back at the picnic, Tom is like, you know, I feel like I came into this season a little bit too cocky and confident, but I know I can do better than this. I know I can. I've got an idea. So he goes over and gets like a dry palm tree branch. It's like dead, you know, it's dead and brown. And he comes over and stakes it in the ground next to the tent. He's like, I did it. I did it.
I feel like Lara Spencer was probably like watching at home being like, that was a good, that was a good, that was good.
It's so romantic. If there was a sheep here, it would try to date me. I'm telling you that right now. Right now.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, so then meanwhile, back on the boat, Janelle kind of pulls Glenn aside and goes, hey, I don't want to embarrass Cindy, but I think she had self-tanner on. And Glenn turns around and just sees the sofa just covered in just like brownness. And he's like, whoa, what happened? He's like, I mean, you know what? Accidents happen, but it was a dumb thing to do. I mean, that couch is worth $50,000. That's pretty stupid. You know, the only things we really want on there are Stu's fucking with the deck people on there. But when it comes to bronzer, not so sure about that.
And then and this is different to this show because this is his boat, isn't it? Or he's like super close with the family that owns the boat.
Yeah,
because wasn't there something in the first season where he's like, well, you know, Padgett, that's like a son to me because this is like my boat, this is like my home, and you know, those are like my children who are fucking. So, you know, I mean, there was something about that, but I don't remember if he owns it. I guess he probably doesn't, but
I think he's been with that boat for a long time. Yeah, something like that. He's attached. So the guests arrive at the picnic, and they're still complaining about the food. Erica's like, well, the whole reason he came on the trip was for the food, you know? And Chuck is like, I mean, you either know how to make an omelet that's not brown, or you don't. I'm like, or you just send it back.
Yeah. And Chuck's like, you know, I guess I'm going to try the lox. I'm going to try the lox, okay? Because, you know, I mean, it's raw. What can he do? And Erica's like, I love lox. I love lox. And he's like, you can fuck up lox. Trust me.
Yeah. And so he starts eating this lox like an ogre, just shoving his mouth, like shoving it in his mouth. Anytime he eats, by the way, those lips are not closed. Stuff, I would say, like, a good 40% of that food that goes in comes back out again. It's just like this, it's just disgusting. So he eats the lox, and then all of a sudden he's like, hey Daisy, great food. You know, I think I was just grouchy this morning. I was just grouchy. I think that's all it was. I was like, you know what? Fuck you. You don't get to have that pivot. Okay. You knew you were being an asshole and you were trying to find a way out of it. You do not get that. No, sir.
Yeah. I was just grouchy, guys. News break. News that nobody asked about by Ronnie. He does not own the boat. Kim Vibe Peterson. It's owned by Danish entrepreneur Kim Vibe Peterson. And it was built by Perini Navi. So there you go. Thanks for tuning in.
Man, imagine if one of these yachts was like owned by like a Russian oligarch and like during a season of Below Deck, it gets like confiscated by like the British government. Wouldn't that be crazy?
And someone would still probably be fucking downstairs. You know, this show just keeps going no matter what's happening.
The season just takes place in like lockup in British like boat jail. Maritime law.
Sorry, sir, you can't bring horses on the boat. It's just like shirtless Putin. Like, hi, I'm here. I'm you. So back with Marcos and Colin. Marcos is like, now I need to know what's for dinner because it's all different now. And Colin's like, don't lose it. Do not lose your cool, buddy. Do not lose. Are you mad? You mad? Don't lose it. Don't lose. When has Marco ever lost it?
Colin. I know. I have not seen that yet. So then back at the picnic, there's just like more chatter and Rhett is telling Janelle, he's like, oh my God, you owe me so much for bringing me on to this and like, you know, me keeping my mouth shut. So Chuck is just chomping away. And then Cindy's weighing in. She's like, you know, one thing I like is ice in water. I mean, they don't put ice in water. I mean, they don't even want to give you water.
Yeah, New York City. I mean, that's how it is in New York. I mean, they won't even give you ice. And if you ask, I mean, they don't even want to give you water. So Chuck goes, yeah, but in New York, it's okay to be a douche to them when they don't give you the water. Nobody makes a big stink then. And Chanel's like, you know, actually, you'll go a lot farther in life if you're nicer to people. And Rhett's like, yeah, you know, in New York, they'll punch you if you act that way.
Right. So then, and then Chuck goes, he goes, well, I've gotten pretty fucking far in life acting this way, so I'm going to keep acting the way I act, which was like the most depressing moment of this entire episode, because it's like he probably has, and he probably will continue acting like this, because there's been no one to be like, you are totally inappropriate, and this should not be rewarded. And for whatever reason, his behavior has been rewarded. He's gotten the feedback that this is the way he can operate. And that made me so sad about everything.
He's like, if people don't like it, then they don't have to be around me. Except that they do. It's a fucking vacation that you're ruining, sir.
Yes.
No? Like, so he walks off all pissed off that someone had the nerve to say something to him. And he goes up to Erica, who's like playing around in the water. Well, her ankles are. And he's like, she made another fucking comment at me. She goes, something happened. What happened, Chuck? What happened, Chuck? And he's like, yeah. She said, I'm going to get my ass kicked. And Erica's like, I mean, you're going to get your ass kicked about what?
And he's like, it's your fucking friend. She goes, Janelle? Oh, my God. And he says, yeah. She said I'm gonna get my ass kicked if I yelled in New York about not getting ice in my water. And Erica goes, does she live in New York? Has she ever been to New York? Does she even know about New York? Does she even like that song, like New York, you know, like Alicia something or another? Like, if she were not my hairdresser, oh, I'd let you be a bitch, but like, I don't have to find a new hairstylist though.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Don't make me find a new hairstylist. And then we cut to Janelle and Rhett just watching them disgusted. And Rhett is wearing a t-shirt that says integrity, which is hilarious. Yes. So Chuck's like, I want my retribution. How am I going to get it? She goes, it's your last day. Relax. He's like, that bitch over there, that bitch is talking shit. And we're paying for this. She's like, I'm not going to fight with Janelle. So please. Oh, hi, Rhett. Hi, Rhett. Because Rhett walks right up to them. I mean, they're 5 feet away, right?
Yes.
And so Rhett's like, did you just call my wife a bitch?
And he goes, no. He goes, are you sure? Because I'll fuck your world up. And he goes, whatever. I mean, Chuck is so that pussy, too, who makes us, he like makes a stink. He complains, acts like the tough guy. And the moment someone really steps to him, he's like, no, I never said anything.
No, what?
Hide it behind Erica.
Yeah, he wants someone to punch him again so he can get that personal injury money. You know, your jaw is about to be another inch to the left, sir.
he's vile.
So Tom comes over to offer them drinks, and Erica's like, I feel like there's a lot of drama happening. And so she comes back to the table, and she's like, yeah, Chuck and I were in the water, and Chuck said that you said something, so... And Rick goes, no, hold on. We didn't say anything. He starts telling her if you're in New York and you don't like the water, then he'll just bitch and bitch and bitch until they give him what he wants. Yeah, he always tells me that. That's true. Yeah. Sounds like him.
Yeah, and Rhett's like, yeah, but actually in New York, they'll hit you in the face if you do that. And he got pissed off and walked off. And Janelle is like, you know, I think your husband likes to have problems with people. Like, you know that Janelle has been dancing around this issue for a few years with her. Like, she's like, how do I broach this with Erica without losing her, losing her as a client? And Erica's like, will you promise me you won't let it come between you and me? Because, like, I don't want drama. And, like, my friends were fighting last season, and it wasn't fun for me at all. I'm like,
well, you suck, your husband sucks, and you have no real friends to invite because you're absolute trash, and so you brought people you pay, assuming they'd let you get away with your trash behavior. Trash.
Yeah, okay. Trash.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, I'm my own person, and, like, you know I can't control him, which is, like, you can't control other humans, but you should be in a relationship with someone who would respect your wishes.
You can control who you marry. I don't think Chuck just started being this way. This is not someone who just starts acting this way, okay? Chuck is very seasoned in his behavior. You can just tell. So Daisy's like, well, I'd rather they were arguing. It's much better than complaining about the food. I wouldn't be surprised if Rhett kicked the shit out of him. It would be a favor to us all. Oh, God, that was a long sentence. I'm trash.
It's better to have them arguing than having to pick up the tent and pack it up and pack up the tablecloths and pack up the glasses and make sure the set is... Oh, I'm tired. I can't even say what the rest of that theoretical was. Oh, dear.
So now we're with the captain and Ashley. He's like, you want to help clean, you know, clean the couch? You know how to clean the couch or whatever? And so he's helping and it's not looking good. And it's time for the guests to be ready to... the guests are ready to be picked up. And we just see Cindy. Cindy's got a cell phone and she's like taking a selfie video. And then she just... splurts over to the side and falls into the onto the surf, I guess, trying to make a sexy video.
It just goes down. It was like, I feel like at that moment, God sent a perfectly timed miniature tsunami just to get her. And I was like, thank you, God. Some horseshoe crab was like, let's get her.
Well, I hope you didn't ruin my phone. So then she goes up to Daisy, Cindy does, Yeah, she goes to Tom and she goes, Tom, take off this necklace and then you give this necklace to Daisy because I brought it for her. Isn't it cute? Oh, it's going to be pretty on her than it is on me. That's for sure. And it looks like if oysters were making a fist. Just 10 terrible Hobby Lobby golf ball. Wow.
It looked like a chemical reaction, like a chemical reaction frozen in time. It looked like cheap plastic or whatever. And it was one of those things where it's like, I'm going to be awful and demanding for 2 days, but it'll all be okay because me as a wealthy person, I'm going to give the help a cheap necklace and that will show that I'm actually a great person, you know?
Yeah. And she probably made it. You know, knowing her, we've seen her before on Bravo, her and silhouettes. That's her thing. Yes. So then Captain and Dumbass. Oh, Ashley. So let's see. Are they still? Wait.
They're on the boat. Yeah, they're back on the boat again.
They're back on the boat. Oh, you got exhausted, Ronnie. It happens.
But they're back on the boat.
I'm wrecked right now.
So they're on the boat and they walk on and Rhett sees the couch and Rhett goes, oh, wow. Like, what happened to the couch? And Erica's like, it wasn't me. Haley goes, I think it was your mom's Tanner. At which point you would sort of be like, you'd think Eric would be like, oh my God, I'm like mortified. But she's like, oh, okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Someone else.
So the necklace is given to Daisy and she's like, oh, thank you so much. What the hell do you even say to that? You know?
I know. So Marcos then meets with Cindy to talk about the menu and she's like, hola, ¿cómo está? And Daisy's like knocking on, Charles is already asleep. And she's knocking on his door to see, like, if he wants to join on this meeting about what the dinner will be. But he is asleep. So Erica's going to come up and speak on behalf of Charles for this culinary meeting.
This was the problem with the first one. You came to speak for Charles, and then he called it disgusting because all you can eat is steak and broccoli or whatever the fuck that was. You know, that was your fault. So now Rhett's on the phone with somebody and he's like, oh yeah, his wife apologized for him. She said his favorite thing to do on the weekends is to go to hotels and bitch about the food so he gets his food for free. I mean, this guy, which of course he does. I mean, that is so personal injury lawyer in a restaurant. Like, ow, ow, oh God, it's disgusting. I demand free, free food for life.
That's exactly right. And first of all, I loved Rhett's gossipy energy. I love that he's like, I've got to go gossip to someone. Like, he just called up someone from the middle of Europe and was like, I got to talk about this guy. But it was like also so disgusting because we can see this guy going into hotels and restaurants and just making life hell for everyone because he's too cheap to pay for his own food. Like, he like disgusts me on such a deep carnal level.
And Erica being like, okay, you're on. Go, Chuck. It's time, you know, like so when the bill's about to come.
Yeah.
And also, of course, Rhett's gossipy. He married a hairdresser. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that is the best source of gossip, you know. I miss having hair to go to Fantastic Sam's with to get some good shit talking. Okay.
Yeah. I haven't gone to my barber since the pandemic, but she didn't really gossip with me. She just like would be like, yo, you see air trails in the sky, those chemtrails? Yo, they're doing something. I'm like, oh God, please stop speaking. She would like gossip about stuff I didn't really know. She told a story once. Sorry, diversion time. She told a story. She's like, oh man, like today was crazy. Like I cut off this guy in traffic and he was like so mad at me and he was just like honking and honking and honking. So finally I just like pulled up alongside him and I gestured at him. I told him to lower his window. So he lowered his window and I threw my fucking coffee into his car. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, Carmen. She threw a hot coffee into someone's car. Wow, I was like, Carmen. I feel like you and Ronnie would really connect.
No, because I only think of doing that stuff.
No, but you would just like hit the stories. You would like, I feel like you would really
I would love
stories.
That.
Yeah.
But then I talk like I'm going to do that. But then in real life, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry that your car got in front of mine. So now it's time for the meeting with the chef. So Erica comes down and she's like, so, like doing that hair pull thing. Like, I'm just a girl talking right now, but is there anything that you can make? Like, have you ever had spicy tuna on crispy rings? And if you had like marinara sauce, that would be good. Potatoes.
Have you ever heard of mozzarella sticks? Or like, have you heard of these things called pancakes, but like for dinner? Like, I don't know, thinking out loud.
Could you make like french fries, but instead of like sticks, they look like little waffles?
And could you make some steak, but instead of steaks, could those also be like little waffles?
So she asks for spicy tuna on crispy rice, marinara sauce, and mashed potatoes and spinach. Sounds delicious. So Cindy's like, gracias, you know, gracias here, but gracias otherwise.
And Glenn and Gary are both going to be joining for this dinner, too. And Marcos is just going mad because he's like, this is like the worst, the most nasty combination I've ever made in my life. Like, I'd rather go back to the dictator and try my luck there. So,
and Cindy's like, mucho bueno. Like, Cindy's showing off her Spanish, but you know that she skipped all the chapters in Spanish class right to por favor, limpio el baño. Okay. Hielo en mi agua. Okay, she just wanted to learn bossy bitch Spanish.
Yeah. So then Erica and Chuck are on the deck just hanging out. And she's like, oh, my God, my mom and Haley and Susan are actually being fun. And you know what? Like those other two. And Chuck's like, yeah, they're being little grouches. Yeah, they're like grump ass butts. Like she's in such a skanky ass mood being rude.
And then it cuts to Rhett and Janelle on their computers, like, working, all upset.
So mad.
So then Gabriella and Ashley work together at the bar in silence. And then Ashley walks off and Gabriella's like, wow, I mean, this is a one person job. I'm packing all this shit. Like, I just don't understand. I just do not get it.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, just let me tackle this fucking mountain of dishes already. I mean, I haven't even seen or touched laundry once today. So now she's mad that she's not doing laundry. She just hates Gabriella, basically. She just hates being third.
Yes. And so Ashley goes downstairs and she's like, we don't need two people to unpack. Like, just let me do dishes. And he's like, so right now, do you not receive help? And she's like, I haven't seen her touch laundry. Okay. And not even once. He's like, well, then you have to say something. And she's like, I know. I just have to make sure, like, I'm not making accusations before, like, I say something.
Oh, so Ashley like, was saying that she didn't.
The evidence.
So, I thought Ashley was saying that she personally hasn't touched laundry. She was saying that Gabriella hasn't touched laundry. Is that what it was?
Right. She's saying she's doing everything, basically. And Gabriella is being controlling and not doing the stuff she doesn't want to do. And so you just hear Gabriella go, you guys all right? And she comes in. She's like, I can hear you from the bar. So.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they go sailing. And while they're getting ready, Ashley goes into Gary's room and starts like flirting with him in his bunk and everything. It's sort of like she's sort of like poking and prodding him literally. And Tom is just sort of on the side talking about, like, you know, how she has no interest in him because he's young and doesn't know why some girls have that are interested in the Gary Tarzan thing. So he's sort of moping around, etc.
Let's go sideways some more, even more sideways. And then Erica finally gives us her first season. Where she actually does the Muppet thing because she stopped doing it this season, which I'm not having, as you can tell. And Marco doesn't have broccoli. And then he's like, he's looking for stuff in the fridge. And he's like, I think it's very overrated, this fridge. This is not a great fridge. Okay.
I think Chuck it was goes, Chuck who's, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Chuck goes, he said something. You're right. He said, it's something, this fridge. And then it cuts to Chuck going, look at the sales. This is very overrated, this experience. And Erica goes, well, last time was Majestic, so I'm not really sure what happened between, wow, these sales are so much lamer than last time. Am I right, guys?
Why couldn't they have gotten some cool wind instead of this lame ass wind? God.
So romantic when you see somebody that's married, a husband that can just make them look at the world like it's even worse. You know, there's that kind of negativity I just love to see.
Truly. So Marcos, we see him in the fridge and then we just sort of hear like a thump and Marcos goes, oh, I cut my head. And then he's like sitting there like this on a distant camera and Daisy's like, oh my God, just sit there. Oh God, I'll get help. Hold on. I need to recover for 5 minutes before I get the help. That took a lot out of me, Marcos. Took a lot out.
Yeah, it's like a split screen while Marcos is like, ow, and Daisy's just running all over the boat. And so Colin's like, oh, I see. Has someone been struck by love? He's like, no, the fridge. He's like, oh, it's serious then. All right. Let me touch it. And he starts like putting his finger in
touching it. I'm like, Colin, stop that.
Stop touching it. Stop touching it.
And then we see he's holding like this little bit of scalp in his hand. It was so nasty because it wasn't just like a clump of hair. Like you could see like a little patch of scalp. I was like, oh, why do you keep showing it? And they kept cutting back to the scalp bit so many times. I was like, please stop. Please.
Yeah. And it's 4:20 p.m. I don't know why I thought that was funny. Because we've all had a good head bump at that time. And Daisy's like, I don't even know what to begin doing. You're probably in shock. Are you in shock? You need a glass of water. Do you need a glass? Someone get him a glass of shock water. I don't even know what I'm saying. God, it was exhausting being that upset.
Marcos, you probably don't want to hear this right now, but is there any chance you could make another omelette just for me personally? No? Okay.
So, I don't even know what happened really to his head. Did they explain? Did he bump his head? Did something fall on him? They just didn't
really get into
it. The refrigerator
is small, so he probably didn't say the refrigerator was overrated. I guess I took that from the next sentence. But he was bitching about the fridge because it's very small and he has to like duck his head in. It looked almost like an ice, you know, like the height of an ice machine in a hotel. Mm. Or maybe it was just like one of those things like in a morgue where you open the fridge door and you're like, is it my friend who I'm supposed to identify? Oh, it's my friend! You know, one of those kind of doors. But it was just small and he hit his head.
Wow.
And I really want to watch Law and Order right now.
I know. I mean, what are the irony that he has two personal injury attorneys on board and wasn't able to use either one of them. So Glenn is tending to it and he's like, you know, when I see this, my first thought is, this is going to be the end of his season. And my second thought is, I wonder if anyone ever cleaned that transom. Remember that storyline? It was a good storyline.
So later, Marcos is like, now it's starting to hurt. And Gary's like, well, now it's hurting because the adrenaline is stopping. That's what's going on there, brother.
It's like, thanks, Gary. So, but Marco's like, I still got to make dinner. So Glenn calls Dr. T, and she's going to come out and help. And Marcos, meanwhile, has like made a little bandage all around his head to go forward and make dinner and everything. And meanwhile, upstairs, Chuck is bragging about how he hasn't showered the entire time he's been on this charter. So on top of everything else, he smells.
And he's sniffing his armpits, and he's like, Erica, smell my armpits. So she does. And then she's like, smell my armpits, smell Chuck. And so they're just sniffing each other's armpits. And he's like, you know the first thing I did when I met her? I smelled her butt. Because Hallie is like, you guys are like animals sniffing each other. He goes, yeah, the first thing I did when I met her was sniff a butt. And she's like, yeah, that was kind of weird. I got pregnant that night.
Hey, let's have sex on this ball. He's like, all right, be back in 20. More like 5. So they just go downstairs to have sex. Smelly sex. Smelly, unbathed. Annoying sex.
Shared bed sex.
Shared bed.
I'm sure they're, yeah.
Full of emotions coursing through them of bad omelets. So then meanwhile, Daisy and Gabriella are like, I don't know, they're like talking about, there's like some talk about like who's going to be serving dinner. It doesn't really matter. And then Dr. T finally shows up and she starts undoing the bandage. And like Marcos is in wincing with pain. And she's like... She's also just like pressing around back there. And he's like, she's like, please try not to move. Please. He's like, I know. Please. He's just like, oh, the poor guy. He's just like in such pain while she's poking around up there.
I know. Did he get a belly button in his head? Because I've never seen something so poked universally. Like everybody just sees it and they're like, So how he and her friend are by the door. And they're like, oh, I don't want the bedroom door. And Hal, he's like, I don't want to go in there right now. Because, you know, the sounds are just like, yeah.
And
this sex sucks. You're not getting anything comped, all right? I don't have a free tiramisu for you, Chuck.
So Dr. T, she says well, it's a big piece, but it's very, very superficial. And then Colin comes in and is like, you know, it's funny that you say that, because when my girlfriend and I were breaking up, one of the things that she said was that I was often a bit superficial. And I would tell her, you know, we've been dating for so many years right now, and for her to make that accusation.
So then Janelle and Rhett are talking behind a door. We hear them talking behind the door. Janelle's like, oh my god, we have to suffer through another dinner with them. I don't have time for this. I don't like people like that. You know what? Just stay the fuck away from me. I'm like, yes, Janelle.
I know.
Come say something. Kick their asses. But you know, I have to say, Janelle kind of let me down on that front. It's like, Janelle, this is your moment.
I was so happy for Janelle, honestly. I loved watching the dissolution of this friendship over the course of this charter. Like, I'm so happy. Like, they're never gonna work again together. Like, this friendship is over, and I'm just so happy that Janelle realized that her self-worth is more important than a client. Good for you, Janelle.
So then Cindy, they're getting ready for this decades party, which I think was only had so that Cindy Rose could dress like Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
Because there are people, I didn't know if it was 20s night. It was very confusing because some people are flappers. She's Marilyn Monroe. I wasn't really confused. I was really confused. I guess you just pick whatever decade you want.
She was the only one who was actually really dedicated to the theme. I don't think anyone else really even was majorly in a costume. Like some of the staff were, but like she was the only one who really went all out for this.
Yeah. I mean, Erica Rose's extensions do look early 2000s, but I'm not sure if that was costume or not, because it's been that way the whole time. So then True. Erica and Chuck are yelling at each other about hairspray in their bathroom, because of course. She's like, I'm doing my hairspray, Chuck. And he's like, yeah, but what about my hairspray? When am I going to get out to some fucking hairspray?
And she's like, I don't know, babe. Don't yell at me, okay? I need hairspray for my hair, just like everyone else needs stuff. I just love how fragile he is. Don't yell at me. And then Gary is very excited because he gets to go to dinner tonight. He's like, well, I get to eat Marcos's food and it keeps me out of the galley doing dishes. Can I make out with the dish? I'm going to make out with the dish.
Oh, how'd you like making out with that dish, bro? Tell me all about it. Yeah. Corley wants deets.
It was pretty hot, man. Like, literally, it was a hot dish. She just came out of the dishwasher. Burned my lips a little bit, man. A little rough, bro. Won't do that again. Little Gary won't be making out with a plate again.
Living vicariously through your dish, love, brother.
Mm. You can do it,
too. So then it's dinner time, and Cindy arrives as Marilyn Monroe, and it's as bad as you'd think. It's like,
hello, Mr. President.
She starts doing the Marilyn Monroe happy birthday to JFK, but it just never ends. I was like, this song hasn't been this long since Countess Luann did it.
Yeah, it was long. It was not a great it's not going to go on Marilyn Monroe's Wikipedia page and turn on the media references side. Let's put it that way.
And no one seemed to really get it. Like, no one seemed to know who Marilyn Monroe was, except the captain. He's like, oh, I see your Marilyn Monroe right there.
Mr. President.
Also, the food comes to the table, and I just loved this giant, ridiculous serving of tuna tartare that he put out there. It was like a heaping bowl, a massive mound of tuna tartare, you know, that he's like, these people are animals, so I'm just gonna serve them tuna tartare like animals. There's nothing like delicate or sophisticated about it. It was just like a heap, and they all just like dug into it, so excited. Oh,
so gross looking. And then it was just like that pink sauce on top, just splurged,
just sloppy, splurged, it looked like he was about to feed an elephant with it or something, you know.
So downstairs, Marcos is getting food ready, more food ready, and Tom's down there, I don't know, drawing a glass or something, and he's like, don't you wish we could go back in time, Marcos, like when you did that to your head, like we could go back in an hour and you could say, don't do that, Marcos. And he's like, oh, I wish we could do that. Yes, I wish.
I'm here from the future. Just saying I'm sorry for what I'm about to say in the future, which I don't even know. Even though the past is my future right now, it's very confusing. I'm exhausted in this future memory.
Future Days is here to warn ya. Don't go in the fridge.
So Marcos is just hating life right now. And the producers ask him, what restaurant does this remind you of? He's like, none. 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 There's nothing like this. I'm like, excuse me, sir. It's called the Cheesecake Factory. Okay.
So they gave them spaghetti marinara, tuna tartare clump, and miso broccoli. Okay. Yep. This makes no fucking sense. So Cindy's like, well, I'm glad we passed the test of being mean girls, which I guess is a reference to last time they were on and nobody was getting along. And this time, I guess she says everybody's getting along.
I think that's exactly what it was, because there was that one girl last season who, like, they all had this big fight and then she wasn't getting along, like you said. And I think now Cindy thinks that this is like such a smooth, wonderful charter, and then you just see Rhett in the corner just be like, oh, like losing his mind, just like trying to keep everything inside.
And so the captain's like, you guys are nice people. And Chuck's like, we met in high school, you know, and I'm Chuck and she's Erica. So she came up with this name, Jerica. And the captain's like, that's a good one. Might I suggest Erichuk? It makes way more sense.
It would. Right. Or just Upchuck. So then to really see the head banging theme through, one lady just gets up from the table and just bangs her head on the roof. You know, just because
Janelle,
was that Janelle? Oh God, poor Janelle. Why do all the good people get their heads bashed in this episode? She's like,
Janelle's
I'm fine.
Like, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. So she bangs her head and leaves, and Daisy comes out in some weird like curly head wig. I'm not really sure. I guess she's the 60s.
Yeah,
this party, it's a very confusing party.
It was not a great party.
Rhett checks on Janelle because she's gone to their room. He's like, what are you doing? Like, you can't just be here alone with my integrity t-shirt. That's my favorite t-shirt. What are you doing? She's like, I'm taking a break. I cannot deal with them. Okay.
And he's like, well, you don't have to talk to them when you get home. So who gives a shit, you know? And she's like, oh, so they're like melt. I love a behind the door fight on Below Deck when guests don't realize they're mic'd. That's like the best.
Yeah. So then the captain's still going, Cindy, when I look at you, I really feel like I'm dealing with Marilyn Monroe. And then it just cuts to Halhi chugging the vodka. She's like, whoa.
So then they all they like toast to a fantastic meal and they all basically wind up going to bed, and Marcos's head is killing him, and Ashley's up late cleaning, just like, this is such a young person's job. And now it's the morning, and surprise surprise, Ashley did not make OJ for the next morning. Ooh.
Yeah. And she's like, I can't with this. And Marco's like, you should have a meeting. This is time for a meeting. Okay. There's OJ complaints now. It's all going to hell. So then breakfast is delivered, and it's Spanish sausage and cheeses. And Daisy goes down to check on Marcos, and he's, you know, it's still painful. And he's like, do you want to see it? And she's like, gross. Boing, boing, boing.
Hold on, let me call the elevator. Boing, boing. Oh, sorry, I thought your scalp was an elevator. Sorry about that.
Sorry, I'm like a lunatic. So, anyway, Daisy is like, Janelle is like, I think, talking with Daisy by the bar. And Janelle's like, I can't believe everything. And Daisy's like, honestly, I've never seen anything like it. He's one of the worst people I've ever encountered in my life.
I love that. And then we see Charlie alone at a table, and he's got a big satchel with cash in it, a big leather satchel. Mm-hmm. And he's like counting it and then like stacking it and looking up like, what should I give these losers?
Yeah, it's like... It's a very ostentatious display of someone wielding their wealth. Like, I'm going to give some people this money, but the rest is going to stay with me. So,
yeah, because remember when he came on, he's like, I got a huge bag of cash just for all you guys.
Yeah. So obnoxious. So then Glenn has to pull Cindy aside and show her the sofa. And he goes, so one of the guests had bronzer on. I'm not going to say who it is, but she may have dressed up like Marilyn Monroe. Who knows? But this guest sat down and we tried to clean it. We couldn't clean it. So I got it. And she's like, well, it wasn't me. I mean, I wasn't even sitting on the couch. This is actually my first time in this room. I just arrived on the yacht like maybe 5 minutes ago from a boat. So I don't know who did this. It's terrible.
Clips of her sitting, not only sitting on the couch, but like with her foot under her thigh, you know?
Yes. Like a full just eye. Smiling. Just smiling, looking
her
around.
Her feet were even on the couch. It's like, it's not tacky enough. Your bronzer is all over the couch. You were sitting there with your fucking feet on the couch too, you know? So he's like, you know, I understand, but it's there. It's there. And he tells us when a primary charters the boat, they're responsible for damage. And he's like, this conversation never really is fun, especially when they're sitting on your lap singing to you with their fingers going through your hair. She's like, happy birthday. Mr. President.
There's like a brown silhouette of Cindy on his shirt when she gets up. So so then Cindy goes up to some of the girls, including Janelle, and she goes, well, you guys, I think we have a little problem here. Somebody wore bronzer and got it on the couch. And Janelle's like, and she goes, well, we're all gonna have to pay for it. And Janelle goes, no, because we didn't do that. And she just sort of purses her lips as in like, this was you, bitch. This was you, bitch.
She's looking at her, yeah, with that like trite smile, like, And Cindy goes, but we didn't do it either. So poor Janelle. She's just shrugging, like her body language, her arms are crossed tight. She's just like,
Because she knows she's going to get stuck with the bill. Despite video camera evidence, she's going to get stuck with the bill. And you know, these assholes are going to charge her for it no matter what.
Yeah. Sue on behalf of the couch who was injured, you know, and they were the one yeah. who did it. So goodbyes time, and Eric is like, I got you a rose, Captain, because I'm Eric a rose. Fuck off, okay? You're trying to give us your fucking brand? Go away.
No. It's fucking Cindy, lame. Cindy goes up to Captain Glenn and goes, I'm going to take care of whatever the problem is. I don't care who did it. I hope we find that criminal, that pesky, pesky person. I will personally take care of it, okay? And I will be sure that my good friend Janelle over here writes the check right to you, okay? Bye. Bye.
And Chuck's like, I never had so much fun in my life. All right.
And they don't bother with the little speech that they normally give. They just walk off like, oh, fuck this.
Yep. And so then Colin or the captain gives them the horn, you know, which is way less cute now. It's like, okay, not for these people. Save the horn. Save
and they don't the even horn, react. Sir. They don't even react. They don't even do like the, that was so funny. Text us when you're in town. They just walk off just like as if none of the staff even existed. It's not under, if you charter a boat, you're not obligated to become friends with the staff. But like it just showed a total disregard of the humans that were actively working to make sure these people had a decent time.
They suck. So then cleaning and tip meeting, and the captain's like, okay, well, first, great job on the interior, Daisy. They did so great, that's a testament to you. And she's like, I just want to remind everyone, if there are any issues, you can come talk to me. And remember, we're a team, and you need to be respectful with each other. Gary, stop looking at me like that, you fucking arse.
So Glenn's like, well, you know, I think that you guys accommodated these guests very well. And I don't think that this tip really reflects the quality of service that we gave you got these guys. You guys really worked hard and pulled out all the stops. And well, for some whatever reason, well, I know the reason because they're terrible people. The tip comes to $6,500. I was like, oh, I don't think we've ever seen a tip that low on Below Deck. Have we ever seen one?
That's
that? I don't
the lowest. I think that's the absolute lowest.
I mean, a large margin. I was shocked.
I was actually kind of shocked because I thought they were gonna pull that like we're dicks, but we really tipped a lot, so they'll still have to be nice to us after. But mm-hmm. No, they really.
I did some.
They really. Wow.
I did some math, Ronnie, and if you take, so they all got $720 each. So it was, what was it, like a 48-hour charter, something like that? Let's say it was 48 hours. I feel like when there's a charter happening, you're working around the clock. Even when you're sleeping, you're on the clock, right? Because you could be woken up at any moment. Like I divided 720 by 48, and it comes out to about $15. Maybe if you take out the sleep hours, maybe it goes up to like 18 or 19. But like, $15 an hour, you know, for the work that they're doing, that is absolutely obnoxious.
Well, that's a tip. I mean, they're paid to be on the boat as well, right? True. Not to stand up for a check or what's her buttons, but hold on.
That's true. That is true. They are getting paid. 20. Let me just be mad at them. Just give me another reason to be mad at them, Ronnie. I don't need the logic, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was shit across. I mean, just an absolute shitty tip. Like, everybody knows that. I mean, someone last season gave like $27,000. They were like, fuck them. I hope they all drown. You know, it was like a decent tip. And they're like, die in your sleep, bitch.
Yeah, I don't remember any like four digit tip before. Like, maybe they had one that was like a 24 hour charter, but even then, I thought it was like at least like $10,000.
Yeah, and Daisy's like, it doesn't matter how much they tipped, all right? They could tip me 40 grand. I'd never want to work with them again. You know, people like that don't deserve nice things. They can take that tip and shove it up their assholes.
Did somebody say something about assholes? So,
actually, one time I did try that. It was kind of an awkward moment between me and the new girlfriend.
All right, let's get cleaning, everyone. We got cleaning. No one has anything else to say of importance, so let's get cleaning.
Working on the transom. Might I suggest McDonald's to celebrate? Guys. So they clean. And Gary is taking down the divider thing in the primary bedroom. So he gets in the bed and he's like, come on, girls. Both of you get in here. Come on, girls.
And they're like, yeah, so Gabriella and Ashley are both in that bed, sort of like romping around. And Ashley says something like, I didn't write it down, but I remember she said something like, I can't even, or oh my God, I would never. Or I was like, what is she reacting to? What was she upset about? Was she upset that Gabriella was there too?
That it was a threesome, yeah. Because he's like, let's get a threesome. And she's like, I don't like being in the middle. I mean, God. Taking it a little too seriously.
I know, man.
So then Daisy is talking to the captain. And, well, she's just passing by him. And he goes, wait, is that open? Is that gummy bears? It's like that.
Yes.
And now, like, he's so polite, he won't eat gummy bears unless they've already been opened. No one's gonna see. They put them in a bowl. Just eat your gummy bears. You're too nice.
So now Colin, like, his dream comes true. He finally gets to have some fresh gossip. So he's sitting down with Ashley on the deck, and he's like, so any gossip? You sort of look like you got something to gossip about. Maybe something about your sister. Maybe something about your love life. I'm open to all of it.
Who's not getting along? You can tell Coley Wooly. Tell him. And she's like, I'm getting along. I just think it's like Gabriella who's not getting along. So.
Oh, so who's the second Stew?
Well, I mean, like, I'm the second Stew. No, I'm the third Stew, and she's the second Stew. Like, Colin doesn't know who the second Stew is.
I know, he's totally like, so, oh, really, titles, is that still a thing? That seems crazy, and you must really feel that as a third Stew. Am I right?
She's like, yeah, titles are still there because, like, yachting, but, like, she's second, and I guess I have to respect her. He's like, but do you really have different jobs when you look at it? You know, like, title, smartle. Are you doing the same things, the same amount of work? Open up there. Jeez.
Yeah, he's totally egging her on.
He's like Lisa Vanderpumping at this point. Like, I'm expecting him to be there with a tiny little poofy dog. You know, in a sweater. He's like, tell mama everything, darling.
I think, though, he doesn't realize that the gold mine he's about to hit, though, because he's just trying to, oh, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you guys both do the same thing. It's crazy that you have these titles, right? Like, you should have been the same. And she's like, yeah, I agree. I'm extremely competitive. You know, I have like a sister. Yeah, and I haven't talked to her in a year. He's like, oh, go on there about your sister. How's your relationship with your sister?
Well, she, like, screwed every guy that I liked in high school, even when she knew I liked them. And he's like, really? So she's like, yeah, I mean, she would, like, fuck him in my room, and then she would brag about it. And he goes, really? That's not very nice, is it? But did you do the same thing to her? She goes, I mean, she kind of shrugs like, no, not as much as she did. I was like, you did the same thing to her. You just said, I just read your shoulders and your face.
Yes, you just said you're competitive. I would love to meet the parent that pit these two girls against each other. I want to see who this Lucille Bluth is who's doing this. So Ashley, she's like, well, I've been told so many times that I come off as standoffish, mainly because I'm standoffish, and I know I'm doing it, but it's like hard not being who I am. You know, girls are tricky sometimes, just a little. Girls are tricky. I'm like, okay, are you, like, I thought she was about to do that whole spiel of like, all my friends are guys. That's just who I am. Girls are jealous.
She
all the
did,
time.
Kind of. She was. She's like, girls, like, girls. I mean, I guess it's a me thing. I mean, I do know some girls that are great, but, you know, it's like a trust thing with girls.
I'm like, you are the one that's tricky, ma'am. You are the one. So, then poor Marcos.
Colin's like, everyone's got their history, don't they? And yours is pretty sexy. I'm going to get a beer and try to find your sister on the internet. So if you'll excuse me.
Anyway, that was a really good talk. Person holding a mop. I'm going to go inside and just make things difficult for Gabriella. So poor Marcos, he's in his bunk, and he stands up and he bops his head, the back of his head, on the ceiling. I'm like, Marcos, I felt like he was in wild, wild pain, but I'm also like starting to wonder about Marcos's ability to understand spaces.
Well, especially that small. I would be one big bruise. I would come out of there missing limbs. You know, like some of us just don't do well in tiny spaces, guy. Yeah. So Daisy is talking to Tom because Tom, they're starting to drink now. And Daisy's like, we're going to get wasted. And Tom comes out with a beer. And she's like, come on, Tom, you can have one cocktail, can't you?
Yeah. And everyone's dressed up, ready to go. Like, everyone's so excited to go out to dinner. And then Glenn comes out and he's like, hey, Daisy. If your best friend's life depended on it and you wanted to make that stain in there better, what chemical would you use? She's like,
oh god damn fucking darn it. Ah, what the vanishes. Vanish has been amazing. Maybe you could try Vanish. And so she basically gets roped into trying to clean the sofa right before going out. She's so pissed.
Well, I mean, that's her job. And I love the captain so nice. He's like, Daisy, what would you use? It's like, he's going to go clean the couch because the interior crew didn't do it. And then Ashley goes, yeah, honestly, that Vanish, it really does work miracles. I'm like, weren't you helping him earlier? Wasn't she helping him clean the couch earlier?
She's like, no, Vanish useless. Does such a great job. I mean, you guys should really like hire someone to clean that couch, right? You tell them to use that Vanish.
Then Gabriella comes dressed like she's going to the horse races in Pretty Woman.
Like, she's ready. Where to are you stomp going? On divots. She looked great. I loved her outfit. And
well, everyone else is super casual, you know. And she comes out like the bam.
There's usually no rhyme or reason. I mean, this is also the franchise that is the most in violation of like. Non-coherent dress codes, as in the girls always dress to the nines, and then you have Colin in his flip-flops and work shirt and some ratty old shorts walking into a nice restaurant. So go figure.
Yeah. So the captain goes to clean the couch and it cuts to later and Daisy's sitting there drinking a beer watching him. She's like, you're doing great.
She's like, has like it all one off. She has like one pinky on the vacuum cleaner, so that way like it counts that she's helping. She's like, yeah, doing a great job.
Oh my god. How is she the boss? It cracks me up. So then they get into vans and Kelsey and Marcos are in one and she's like, Marcos, Kelsey, we only get like, she's that person this season that we only get one or two lines an episode, but I still really love her. Like earlier she goes, hey guys, let's get out of this popsicle stand or something. I was like, I love that she doesn't know that term, right? You know? And now she says, Marcos, don't let him get you down. You know why? Because you're fucking fire. And besides, they're used to chicken nuggets. Got it? He's like, thank you. Who's this lady? Who's she?
Hey, Marcos, next time, maybe you should serve my favorite dish, hair. It's like, okay, lady, stop eating your own hair.
So they go to dinner and Marcos gives a toast that and he's like, I put my heart into those motherfuckers, but you guys, I never feel like family, but you guys are like family. So thank you.
Yeah. Like, well, maybe they were at Olive Garden because when you're there, you know, you're family.
You like so, family.
When you're there, you're family. So now they're just drinking.
These breadsticks suck. I want free fucking Olive Garden. He probably would pull that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, breadsticks just goes flying through the restaurant. Give me something better. So anyway, so they're all like drinking and getting drunk. And Gabriella has this really funny drunken pivot from like fun banter to workplace questions. She's like, oh my God, it was so fun. I love this booth. But like, by the way, we're fucking cool, right? Like everything's cool on the boat. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure. I was like, oh, okay. I guess we're talking about work. So Daisy's like, oh my God.
She always wants to. Gabriella is that person who always wants to get into a serious conversation. Because remember, she hates small talk.
You're so right. So she just pivots into the serious conversation when you don't expect it. Yeah. So Daisy's like, we are fucking great. You know, just get her a team and I just want us to be solid and I'm just too tired to even go any further with this conversation. I just only got a few words out this time.
So then Tom, Gabriella, and Daisy go over to smoke. And so Ashley and Gary are left there to talk. And she's like, I really don't understand what's happening. He's like, what? He's like, earlier I was in a room with Gabriella and she said, Gary will fuck anything.
Like literally undermining just the professional relationship that Gary has with Gabby. Like, Wes, it's such a bratty thing to do, right? When A, everyone says that, and B, wasn't it Ashley who said that in the flashback? Don't we see Ashley saying, or like, no, Gabrielle says, don't you feel like he would fuck anything? And Ashley's like, yeah, he totally would. But she just removes herself from that conversation.
She says, don't you think Gary takes it? She says, do you think that Gary just like kind of takes his shot with everyone? And then the one that bites is the one that he takes. And Ashley goes, yeah. So that was the clip. Which isn't really saying he fucks everything. It's just saying he's trying to fuck everything.
Yeah, that's a big difference. But either way, Ashley removed herself from her part in that conversation by doing this, and then is also trying to undermine Gabrielle at the same time. So it's like, it's so obnoxious, right? So
well, it's funny because she's pulling the thing with Gary that she didn't even get to date Gary before she pulled this. Because last season it was like, I mean, I don't want anything from Gary. Like, I'm a single, independent, strong woman. And then the minute she hooks up with Gary, she's like, oh my God, I need more from Gary. Like, what was that girl's name?
Sydney. Oh,
Sydney's a wonderful disaster. She's like, I've done community theater.
I was about to say, at the Key West Community Theater production of Pirates of Penzance.
Yes, but now Ashley's already starting this. So she's like, I mean, Gary, you flirt with everyone. He's like, Sadie. She's like, yeah, but that's different. He's like, why? Because I'm a guy. You girls flirt with me all the time. But when I flirt with you girls, it becomes a problem. But he's even like kind of flirting when he says that. He's like, is it a problem?
She goes, well, if I'm going to hook up with you, I want it to be just fucking me. I don't want you fucking anyone else. He's like, well, I don't want to fuck you.
I think that's Gary's best moment on this show.
I know.
Oh, so he says, I think it's clear she wants two things, me undivided attention and to get in my pants. And I might want to sleep with her, but I don't want to be stuck with the consequences.
And he pulls the classic fuckboy line. Kissing you on the first love is great, but I don't want to rush things. I don't want to rush things at all. He wants to take it slow. Oh, yeah, I want to take it slow. Okay. You look great, by the way. Mm. So now it's like 8:45. They're all drunk. And now Gary and Daisy are going for a smoke. And Daisy's like, so, Gary, who do you think you're going to hook up with this week? And he goes, you, come here. And he like starts kissing on her. She's like, Jesus, Gary. Jesus.
That was the best kiss I've ever had in my life.
So then, back at the table, Gabriella takes a huge bite of cake, and Tom says something like, that was huge. That was huge. I can't believe you just got that in your mouth, or something like that. And she's like, I mean, it's not you, clearly.
So now they go back to the vans, and now Marcos is in this state where he just keeps on touching his own wound. Now he keeps on like trying to undo his bandage, and they're all yelling at him like, stop touching it. And at one point Daisy goes, stop touching it, just leave it. And she takes his hat and just slams it down on his head. I was like, easy Daisy, easy. There's like missing scalp.
So now begins the Gary pacing back and forth, pretending that he's not going to get all the free sex that he can while he's here. He's like, this is so hard. I don't want to be. I'm not going to sleep with her. I'm not going to sleep with her. And then it cut to other people doing things. It cuts back to Gary alone at the bar. I can't do it. Little Gary, come through for me, little Gary.
And he like winds up on the dock. And he's like, he's just like talking to himself. It's very like 80s movie montage moment. And Ashley comes out with a bottle of tequila and she's like, we're going to do something. He goes, oh, well, should we disappear then? Should we disappear? She goes, no, not disappear. And then they just start making out.
And he's like, oh, naughty, naughty. So then Gary, more scenes of Gary pacing around and stuff. And Colin is getting his head wrapped in saran wrap. Colin is wrapping Marcos's head in saran wrap, sorry.
Yes.
And Daisy is needing a drink, of course. And she's like, I need a drink. Meanwhile, Marcos is sitting there getting his head saran wrapped. Okay. they're like, imagine how he feels.
I know.
Daisy, Jesus.
Daisy sits down next to Marcos and goes, oh, I'm traumatized. And he goes, I'm traumatized, bitch. she goes, you're fine. You're going to live. Okay. I'm the one who's traumatized. So Gary is still now. So now after making out with Ashley on the dock, he's back on the boat. And now he's like been he flops down on a sofa and he's like jumping up and down, trying to decide like, can he push through this rampant horniness? And he's like, well, if I go to bed, I'm going to wake up with no regrets. But if I stay up, maybe I'll do something I'll regret. Well, currently, Gary, behave. I'm like, you know what? Just go to the bathroom and jerk off at this point, please, and save us all of the drama.
No, this is Gary's power move. Haven't you noticed that Gary always does this? He always goes, I'm going to bed, and then doesn't tell anybody and waits for people to come to his bed and beg him not to go to bed.
That's true. He's done
it millions of times, right? And sure enough, it works. He goes to bed, and then Ashley comes and sits on his bed, and she's like, come on, why are you going to bed? Why are you being weird, Gary? And she like leans on him while he's laying down, and he's like, I just don't know how to handle it. When a pretty girl kisses me, I don't know what to do. And you kissed me.
And she goes, you kissed me.
I'm just a sad, sad boy with emotions.
I know. Also, I think thinking about it even more, I think this whole over-the-top display of like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? It's almost like he is doing this so that way he could say with like a little bit more conviction the next day, like, I didn't mean to do it. I couldn't control myself. I was so caught up in horniness, right? Like it sort of removes like the intentionality from it a little bit, I think, in his mind.
Unprofessionalism. The responsibility. Part, where it's like, I was trying to be professional, but you know, they just won't let me. He's like, all right, let's go to the jacuzzi. So they do. And Kelsey's wasted at the jacuzzi. And Daisy's like, are you okay, girl who can't clean transoms? And she's like, not really.
I want too many shots of hair. You know what I'm saying? So they're all just like,
Ashley's really trying at this point, right, to get Gary's attention. So she's like, Daisy, tongue or no tongue? And she starts making out with Daisy. And Daisy's like, well, okay, that's enough of that. That is enough of that. All right. So then Daisy moves to sit on Gary's lap. And Ashley's like, you can't even do a little performative bisexuality for anybody anymore. Girls, I'm telling you.
Girls, they just are tricky. So now Gary, unfortunately, I think that Ashley's little trick worked the wrong way because it just got Gary horny for Daisy. So then Ashley, with no other option, she's like, you know what? She's like, Gary's signals are saying he's really just not interested. And like, it's like, whatever. I'm drunk and horny, so I'm just going to have a good time no matter what. So basically, she decides she's going to go to plan B, or plan C at this point, which is she's going to make Gary jealous. So she just starts chugging tequila, like massively chugging tequila out of the bottle on the side to get up to make herself drunk enough to want to actually, you know, hook up with Tom.
Oh, right. Because Daisy and Gary are just going for it now. They're like fully making out, you know, and Colin's like, oh my God, I'm afraid for my life at one point. So then let's see. Now it's Tom, Ashley, and Gabriella, right?
Yeah. So actually Daisy and Gary are not making out just yet, but they're being very flirty at this point. They're just completely ignoring Ashley. And so at one point, like Gary goes, like the guys go back into the bar to refill or whatever. And basically we're left with just Gabriella, Tom, and Ashley in the hot tub. And so they're talking about the situation. And Gabriella tells Ashley about Gary, like, look, if you want to fuck a toad, you know, fuck a toad. And Tom goes, you're just calling me a fucking toad. Why'd you call me a fucking toad? They're like, talking about Gary. He's like, oh, got it. Got it now, toads.
So Gabriella's like, well, Tom has beautiful eyes. He has a great body. And Ashley's, who's being so nice to Tom now, is like, oh, we all know what my face did when Tom walked in, guys. And she's like, yeah, I blew him off, but Gary's pissing me off. So I'm finally warming up to someone my own age. There, I said it.
Getting drunk enough to tolerate someone my own age. So then now she's flirting with him hardcore. They're taking photos together. She's putting her feet in his feet and everything. And Tom is just like over the moon. He's like, you ever hear the tortoise and the hare, or where I'm from, the sheep and the sheep? Yeah, I'm living proof that I'm the sheep, or the tortoise in this case.
I'm the living proof the tortoise ends up fucking that sheep.
Right? Our fables are a little different in the north of England.
It's a very sexy story to tell children, but there you have it. So they're making out, and Ashley's like, yes, queens, and taking their pictures. But then she's like, this is feeling weird now, so.
So, yeah, that was weird. So then, Ashley's like, we should go down to the guest cabin. So they go down to the Tom and Ashley go down to the guest cabin, and then they're behind the door, and Ashley's like, remember when we were arguing a week ago? Isn't that crazy? And he's like, yeah, that's the way it always starts with me and me sheep, gotta say.
She goes, what do you want from me? He's like, I don't know. She goes, you want me to get naked? He's like, okay. And then Daisy and Gary, ba-bam, blah, weird make out. Didn't it look like Daisy's mouth was closed, but his was making out, but hers kind of wasn't?
That's sort of just also the way they approach life in general. Like, he sort of always talks like he's actually actively making out while he's talking, and she always talks like her mouth is not even open in the first place. And Colin is like trying to figure out where he should go, and he's like, this is so awkward. He's like, I don't know where to go. Where can I sit? Where I can watch all of this, but they won't see me. I'm so exposed.
I know.
Right,
I was going to say, where he can go, where he can go watch. Fucking Colin.
Yeah. So they go, they start like, it's like play make out, and then it goes into like real make out. And then that's the cliffhanger.
And it I'm allergic crazy. To it. You're allergic. And that brings us to the end of Below Deck Mead.
It's not, a sailing yacht. I was less surprised about Gary and Daisy, because we saw that in the trailers. I was more surprised about Ashley and Tom. That was the thing that really got me.
Not me, really. You know, it's just two horny people looking for someone else horny, you know? At some point, you just need to find something to plug your phone into. You know, it's like nothing else matters. I just need the right shaped plug, okay?
Yeah. It's true. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. We will be back later this week with some New Jersey and some Orange County. Go to watchcrappins.com to get tickets to see us in Philly and DC and Pittsburgh. We'll see you on the road, and the rest of you, we'll just see you right here. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappins would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shardell.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C.
Dana Do. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills. Paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She leaves us in stitches. It's Catherine Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.